This talk is about the return of a very specific mercurial power that moves through the Arthurian dream stream, among others. This is highly relevant to the little bears, so I want to say a few words about us first. The little bears are the first clan to come out of the great hibernation. We are pioneering the embodiment of our multidimensional selves, whatever we call ourselves, within the new reality that we are generating. We do this 24/7, unconsciously and without effort, because this is our nature. However, we hone our skills and enhance our satisfaction by witnessing our experiences and sharing our observations with each other. This is part of our transmission function that fires up the new connections in the sky grid that reach more of the clan, so that the dragon fire of the earth can move more freely. The sky grid is formed by the energy lines that create the signature of each constellation. The lines connecting constellations, formed by the wandering eyes of many generations, the orbital tracks of the planets, as well as the temporary pathways that we generate whenever we look at any of the celestial bodies. If you did any V-lining, you already know how energy moves along a line that you generate with your eyes. You felt that burst, that aliveness when you made that connection. Ancient civilizations concentrated access to the grids in pyramids and power spots and restricted knowledge about their workings to the priests and magicians of their cults. In the new reality, every human functions as a conduit between the earth and sky grids, and energy is evenly distributed, more or less, through all of us. The concentration of power and its abuse is not physically possible in nature's grid system, in which we're all enmeshed, once it's fired up. Right now, we're clearing the conduits and building the synapses we need in order to perceive ourselves within this web. That's why it takes some effort and feels a little clunky at times. There's a common pattern of a creative surge, great insights, lots of energy, and then it's followed by a slowdown or even an immune response, which is the dragon fire response to you firing up the grid, coming up vertically to burn out any dross in your mind-body instrument as part of the healing and clearing. So everyone listening to this talk has been engaged in this process for many iterations. You already know what I'm saying, but it's good to hear the confirmation, and it strengthens the communication channels and accelerates the process. These communication channels operate telepathically via the grids. The communication happens before the words are spoken or the message is typed, and they can never be censored or shut down, as they're inaccessible to the psychos in the archontic network, because they operate on the frequencies of bliss, love, wonder, creation and magic. So magic, and the subject of this talk, the return of Merlin. Merlin is a Celtic characterization of the power of transduction, which we also know as Lug, Mercury, Hermes, Thoth and Mr. Luigi to me. The gift of not being able to recognise the truth is that it's often transcribed by those who think they're writing fiction. If the old Merlin wasn't so mired in melancholy, he would really he'd have a chuckle over that. Anyway, Merlin is a personification of the nature power that causes the spoken word to influence events and people. This power has been dormant, as in Merlin sleeping in his invisible castle, waiting for the ripe conditions for re-emergence. The key condition was the healing of the Athena-Medusa split, represented by Morgan and the Ladies of the Lake in the Arthurian legends. As this split caused us to deny our wild natures and petrified our source connection. Our mother has now rebirthed herself. I talked about that in the Beltane talk on parthenogenesis. And her daughters are reclaiming our own wild natures and engaging in the generation of a new nature-based social order. Other conditions relate more intimately to the little bears and how ready we are to handle this power, which in turn affects how well and how rapidly it works. The most significant contribution that the little bears have made so far, each in their own way, is in the balancing of various aspects of the masculine and feminine polarities. This enables us to function correctly and fully as conduits between the earth and sky grids. We have more energy, experience more synchronicities, and remember more of ourselves. If you form an image in your mind of yourself as two twisted cords of light connected to an electrical circuit on the surface of the earth that responds to every footstep, and then connected into an infinite web of celestial beings that communicate with you whenever you look at them. That's how we operate. The earth grid responds to the messages from the sky beings through our physical bodies, and we transmit instantly and non-locally, directly, but also via the pole star. The pole star is a permanent connection. Once you have the image of the pole star in your mind, you're always connected. Otherwise, you kind of go on and off. Some of us now remember the group ecstatic trance in which we projected the constellation of the scales into the sky between the Virgin and the Scorpion. Those of us who have a well-defined connection to the scales have been particularly active during this phase. We dreamed its functionality into existence and generated portals for our re-entry into the visible world via the activation of our biological antennas and using various combinations of numbers, dates, and planetary alignments. Our entire bodies are biological antennas. However, the two arrays that connect us to the pole star are the pineal, sphenoid, and pelvis, the masculine channel, and the pituitary, ethmoid, and sacrum, the feminine channel. When these channels carry a balanced charge, we distribute currency, evenly throughout the grid, making it faster and easier for others to charge up. This is what is depicted in the old alchemical drawings of the hermaphrodite and the king and the queen in the bath. The bath represents the total immersion of yourself, within the infinite ocean of consciousness. Surrender to bliss, liquefaction. I asked Mama Bear for confirmation of the connectivity between our biological antennas and the pole star at the supermoon eclipse of the 26th of May last year. The answer came 2 days later via a clan brother who spontaneously sent me an image of an old map of the polar projection of the Earth that he had just found in a place called the Bear Moon Cafe. The fulcrum of the scales is the analogue to the biological antenna array and the axis mundi with its pole star beacon. A couple of weeks ago, as I was recording the introduction to the pole star transmissions, a clan sister was going through some old files and found some material on the pole star from Mantak Chia that she decided to keep. This is the pole star in action. You can try it for yourself very easily. So how do you feel when you experience synchronicities, bliss, connection, wonder, magic? Ancient people saw the pole star as the gateway to Shambhala, which is the state of consciousness you feel when you're in bliss, love, wonder, and magic. At some point, this state of consciousness will shape our communities and social order, and it's the pole star that lights up that path for each of us individually. So, meanwhile, what about Merlin? Well, the death of our rooster on the Venus-Saturn conjunction of March 29th this year signalled Merlin's pending return. We had named that rooster Zubi, after Zubin el-Ghanoubi, the brightest star in the constellation of the Scales that is also in the southern claw of the Scorpion. I don't know why I named him that nearly 6 years ago. I just follow my intuition on these things. The name just came to me. Anyway, he was a beautiful bird, a great singer, and he took good care of his flock, except for a few tussles here and there, especially with Diana. He went peacefully in his sleep with his favourite hen by his side, and he'd been preparing for a while, so he had the chance to say goodbye. When the celestial bodies are in conjunction, they form a connection, a line, along which energy travels. This energy is charged particles that are not like the sterile charge of the electric current we use to power machines. But they are alive and carry, in their own way, they're living, and they carry information to anyone who looks at them. That information we do what we want with, and it goes into the earth and sky grids and reaches others who are ready to receive that information. Often they think it's their own idea. Saturn, with its counterclockwise spin, limits or shuts off the current into ideas, patterns and hierarchies, dream streams. I've been following the effects of the conjunction since the, oh gosh, I think it was Saturn-Pluto conjunction of January 2020, and I've seen a pattern that I described as the dissolution of the patriarchy. From December 2021 last year, several incidents played out. I can't really describe them in detail because they're not really my story to tell, but they confirmed the severing of the patriarchal thread. However, this is not the complete story, because if there's no longer charge going into the patriarchy, where's it going? Well, I'm seeing that it started to move through the paternal clan links. Perhaps it is in the energetic restoration of the ancestral lines, which got cut off when the men of the clan got hijacked into serving the economy rather than life and love. I don't know, but I've confirmed, I have confirmed to my own satisfaction that a fresh energy is flowing in new directions. It's gathering a new perspective and different behaviours. One of my methods of confirmation was is through the ecstatic trance postures that I've been doing with someone who's training with the Kuyumungu Institute. And on the 12th of May, just before the eclipse, we did the Great Father Bear posture, and it was after that that I really was able to integrate and articulate more clearly the what I'm seeing in terms of the energy flowing through the paternal lines. I did see it move directly between Dean and a young man that we had visiting to help us plant trees just after Zubi's funeral. It seemed like I saw it like a thickening of the air or a mist between them, they were in conversation. And I would say that the parts of himself that Dean had forgotten got mirrored back to him by the younger man. And he has more light and vigour now, and is finding much better ways of doing things. It's hard to say what the younger man got out of it. I don't know him well. But there'll be something, because the mirroring is, it's always mutual. Anyway, so a week or so after that, we got a new rooster. I think that, I don't know if you can hear that. That's Freya crunching something down there. A week or so later, we got a new rooster. And he's very different to Zuby's, glossy black, has subtle beauty, very smart, and he's iridescent in the sun. And he's also a shapeshifter, so I named him Merlin without really thinking that much about it. As an aside, birds and chickens in particular, as they are wild birds that live very closely with humans, they're all conduits into the greater reality of the invisible world. It's why chickens have always been used in rituals and voodoo, and why wild birds will often show up when you're in Bliss or Alpha. So with the naming of Merlin, which is naming magic, I hitched a ride on the dream stream of the magician and was able to see with my inner vision what this power is and why it became trapped and how it is now re-emerging. The Merlin power is the language of light, which is not some archaic language, which is just a symbol of that language. The language of light is the ability to transform sound into light and into matter. This power was kept secret by the priest magicians by disguising it as the gift of prophecy, making it look as though they were predicting the future. In order to keep the secret, they had to manipulate events so that it looked as though they were predicting the future. Hence Merlin taking the baby Arthur to make him into a king when he was already born sovereign from the head, mind, of the dragon. In order to do this, the dragon had to be slayed, cut in two, and Merlin could never admit that she, the dragon, was the source of his power, which of course was to deny her existence within himself. It takes a lot of energy, resistance, to cut yourself off from the life force of the earth and to only allow yourself access to the frequencies that serve a specific agenda. And it's ultimately futile. You cannot escape. No one can escape the regenerative power of the earth. And anyone who tries will eventually find themselves surrounded with nowhere to go. This is at Merlin's invisible castle, where he was held captive by the Ladies of the Lake, also known as the Sovereign Power of the Earth. But it can also be seen, I think, as the shell of the scorpion. On the 29th to 30th of April this year, the planet Mercury was in the Pleiades, meeting with the aspect of the Great Mother consciousness, the star Maya. At this time, there was a partial solar eclipse, which means that the moon cuts off the current, the energy flow from the sun to the earth. This allowed Mercury to reset his connection with the Great Mother consciousness. Freed of the historical patterns transmitted through the sun and the solar kings, this also cut off the power to the solar, to the priests, magicians of the solar kings. The solar kings were needed to be crowned by the priest magicians, using a concentrated but also diffused stream of the language of light. The planet Mercury went retrograde on the 10th of May this year and returned on the 3rd of June with new settings. On the 15th of May, just recently, there was a lunar eclipse aligned with a scorpion. I see this as the Earth releasing the Merlin power from the trap shell castle in which it was bedazzled and entranced by the concentration of power from the sun that created the solar dynasties, which also no longer have any power. The language of light is the process by which speech fires up the bioluminescence in the brain to light up memories as images that trigger a related response in the external world. This is something we do naturally all the time. But it doesn't seem to work all the time, and that's for three reasons. We do not know that this is what we're doing. Our memory banks are full of unnatural images that nature does not recognise. And the result may not show up in your own reality, as the correlation might be with someone else, and the grids have fired it up for them. When Mercury returns on the 3rd of June, I'm anticipating that this will become obvious to anyone who looks for it.